Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're speaking about a topic that generated a lot of interest when we first aired this show, believe it or not, some 8 years ago. It was on the topic of marijuana. And at the time, I brought to the table a very exciting guest. His name is Dr. Burnell Baldwin. Dr. Baldwin has his PhD in neurophysiology. He's an expert in how the brain works. Dr. Baldwin is still on the staff of Wildwood Lifestyle Center and Hospital in Wildwood, Georgia, just outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we're going to be bringing him back onto the show, actually by way of our archives. Remember, we're doing something special in the summer of 2012. We're airing some of those classic shows that we've avoided re-airing for a simple reason, and that is we don't have a live call-in talk show format that was the format that we were using back in 2004, early in the history of American Indian Living. But we're trying to recapture that audience interactive component. Although it's true we don't have the capacity today to do live call-in shows. We're on three different networks. One of those networks, for example, does not air any live programming at all. But we do want to interact with you. And so we're airing some of these shows that give you that live call-in flavor. We're doing that again in the summer of 2012 because we want you to call in. That's exactly right. Even though we can't take you on today's show live, we do want to hear from you. And we do want to answer your questions on future editions of American Indian Living. As we go into the archives, we're first talking with Dr. Baldwin about some of the things that got his attention to look seriously at the behavioral and neurologic effects of marijuana.
Came under the influence of Dr. Nahas from the Middle East, who has years of experience in pharmacology and also seeing the social and medical outcomes of marijuana in the Middle East, where it is quite obvious.
So are you saying that Dr. Nahas is one of the people that's pushing for legalization of marijuana?
Oh, no. He says all you have to do to figure out the marijuana issue is to visit the Middle East and look under the bridges and look at the end product of what marijuana does to the brain. He said that will cure the situation.
Well, tell us a little bit, Dr. Baldwin, exactly what marijuana does do to the brain.
Well, the effects on the brain have been measured. And here is, I think, is some information that would illuminate the current scene. There's 60 times more THC in some varieties of marijuana than others.
Wait a minute, are you saying that the active ingredient, marijuana,
tetrahydrocannabinol, is 60 times stronger in some weeds than it is in others?
Well, boy, how can you tell then? How can someone know when they're getting marijuana how much of the THC is in it?
They can't. But you see, what I'm illuminating is this. Some people, particularly New Englanders and Californians, brain scientists can study very objectively weak marijuana and stand up in court, in Congress, and in the public purview and say, this marijuana is not dangerous. Well, it may not be. It may be so adulterated and so weak as to hardly do anything beyond placebo effects. But other marijuana, like red oil, for instance, and Asiatic marijuana, see the plant, can grow from, I have seen it, 6 inches high. It also grows 18 feet tall with 1 to 15 leaves on each stem.
Huh. Are these the same variety of marijuana or different ones that grow real small?
It depends on whether you're a clumper or a splitter. But my point is, this marijuana issue is very complicated because some people are talking about apples, others are talking about oranges, others are talking about thistles.
So are you suggesting, Dr. Baldwin, that when some people are talking about the safety of marijuana, they may be looking at very weak, ineffective plants, and then when other people are talking about how much it's helping them, they may be using something that's very strong and very dangerous?
Yes, and so this complicates the issue. Now, let's get down to measurement.
Uh-huh.
It's well known in brain science that serious marijuana use, as it is used by people who use it regularly in the Middle East or Asia, it will depress the function of the frontal lobe so that the normal balance of the brain is upset. And this
now, Dr. Baldwin, let me just interrupt for a minute. For those of our listeners who may not have had as many neurophysiology classes as you, tell us a little bit more about this frontal lobe that the
marijuana is affecting. The frontal lobe, that's where the executive centers are located. And this is where the spiritual dimension of man is represented. So when the frontal lobe is depressed, then the marijuana user, like the alcohol user, has temporary drug peace of mind because the conscience is anesthetized.
Okay, so basically people can, definitely feel good on marijuana. We could get thousands of callers telling us, and you're saying it does that by depressing this frontal lobe. There must be some downsides to that, though, aren't there?
Oh, yes, of course. One of those downsides is increasing the incidence of psychosis.
So that would be thinking that's out of touch with reality, basically.
Not only that, the mind gets out of touch with reality.
Uh-huh.
And this really makes a problem. Dr. Arsenault, who and his associates of the Institute of Psychiatry, the King's Colony of London, they have studied this very carefully, and they estimate approximately twofold increase in development of psychosis in steady marijuana users.
So this would be things like schizophrenia and severe depressions with psychosis. Is this permanent then? I mean, are these people predisposed to these?
It may or may not be permanent, but there are a lot of people on the edge of mental disease anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So when people get a big dose of THC that is socially reinforced, and, by the way, they smoke entirely different than tobacco smokers. Tobacco smokers are afraid of the smoke because they know it has cancer chemicals in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are pretty low on inhalation. But real marijuana smokers inhale very deeply and hold it in the lungs in order to get more THC to the brain.
Now, you said they're not as afraid of lung concerns or cancer concerns. I mean, is that pretty much substantiated by the facts that if you're smoking marijuana, you're smoking something a lot safer cancer-wise than cigarettes?
Not really, because it's been measured, and cancer chemicals like benzopyrene have been documented in marijuana.
When you say documented there, I mean, are they a fraction of what's in tobacco? Are they similar, these cancers?
Even a little more than in tobacco. Now, since we're scientists, I would like to observe that many people smoke more tobacco cigarettes than they do marijuana cigarettes.
Exactly.
So we aren't going to claim in it for a second that marijuana users get just as much cancer of the lung as tobacco smokers. What we are saying is that there are definite cancer chemicals in marijuana smoke, and therefore it's unwise to use it.
Well, Dr. Baldwin, let's ask the question then this way. Do we have any evidence at this point that any cancers are actually increased in smokers of marijuana?
Yes. Yes. Head and neck, epidemiologically, in other words, by measuring the people, that's very clear. Secondly, the evidence for cancer of the lung is indirect in that the cancer chemicals, yes, But their effect over 10 and 20 years of use, the jury is out.
Okay, so basically the chemicals are there, but we can't say today that it's definitely going to cause lung cancer, but we're concerned about it because it's got the same cancer-causing chemicals.
Exactly. Complicated by the fact that many people who use marijuana also smoke tobacco, you see. So, which is doing the damage, the jury is out on that. But in animals, in tissue culture, in chem lab, the evidence is very clear. Marijuana smoke has cancer chemicals in it.
You know, this is one of the other big issues that always comes up, Dr. Baldwin, with marijuana. You know, we're speaking here on one hand about some of the dangers. You know, you've talked with us about some of the mental health dangers of marijuana. You've mentioned some of the, you know, growing concerns there are about cancer as far as both the chemicals that are there and some of the actual evidence that exists right now that marijuana smokers have increased rates of head and neck cancer. But the flip side of the coin is there are people saying that these compounds in marijuana, whether it's THC or something else, actually has bona fide and validated medical uses, and that we shouldn't deprive people who have certain medical conditions from this so-called helpful plant. I mean, how do you weigh in on that whole dialogue?
Oh, right up front, from a drug point of view, it is clear that there are chemicals in marijuana smoke and in marijuana products which will do certain things medically, like pressure in the eyeball, for instance.
So the whole glaucoma connection.
Yeah. But here's the catch. The media people usually do not tell the public that the side effects in the eye, including the irritation, the inflammation, the red eye that marijuana users try to cover up with dark glasses.
Right.
Yeah. The side effects are such that marijuana is not a winning medication for glaucoma.
So you're saying that if someone's got increased eye pressure, they've got this condition of glaucoma, they tolerate a lot better a standard medication therapy better than using marijuana, in your opinion.
Right, right. And the same goes for nausea and vomiting. If you will talk to the cancer specialist called oncologists,
right,
they will tell you that there are other medicines that are more effective and have fewer side effects than marijuana. So that it's not a real up-and-coming. It's not a drug of choice for either glaucoma or nausea and vomiting or pain. Medically, marijuana is a loser.
This is Dr. David DeRose stepping away from the dialogue with Dr. Burnell Baldwin. Again, this is a pre-recorded show. It's a show actually that first aired in 2004. We're re-airing it today because the material is so contemporary and it is still a cutting-edge topic as we speak about this mind-altering drug. Is it something that's desirable? Does it have some downsides that are often not being discussed? Dr. Baldwin is walking us through these things. He's got a lot more to come up in the next segment of American Indian Living. I encourage you to stay tuned. We've got a lot of interesting caller interaction because this show was recorded when we were doing a live call-in talk show format. We'd love to have you be a part of future discussions on American Indian Living. We no longer have the capacity for a live call-in talk show, but we still want to be responsive to your questions and your concerns. Give us a call at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. And we'll hope to answer your question on a future edition of American Indian Living. If you prefer to send us an email, you can do that as well. Simply send your email to us at AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. That's AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. If you're straining to understand what I'm saying as far as that domain, it's simply lifetalk, L-I-F-E, talk.net. We'll be back with more from Dr. Brunel Baldwin. Don't go away. A lot more fascinating interaction with the doctor himself as well as with a number of callers. Stay tuned for more. We'll be right back.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by Wimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Wimar is home to the residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Wimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Wimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today. On policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people, and full of people, and full of people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. We are going to the phone lines in just a few seconds. You've got that number in front of you, 1-800-775-HOPE. And we invite your questions about marijuana. Is it, in your opinion, something we should be allowing for medical use? Have you used it with good results? Have you had problems with it? We want to hear from you. We're going to go to a listener now in Washington State. That's David. David, welcome to American Indian Living.
Hello. I've got a question. I've been smoking for 15 years. I'm 32 years old. I actually started smoking when I was about 12 years old. Are there really, I have never noticed or found any difference, any dangers in it. I mean, what are the real dangers in it?
Okay. Dr. Baldwin, give David some feedback.
Surely. How often does he use marijuana?
I use it in the morning as soon as I wake up. Like you say, I wake up kind of feeling sick, vomiting. I didn't always die because I started at a really young age. So I smoke as soon as I wake up. That'll go away. I smoke before lunch. I smoke a good 5-6 times a day.
I see. Yes. Well, marijuana is a little like tobacco in this regard. That one out of three people who use tobacco die with it. But two out of three do not die with it. You see. So, it takes many years for cancer to be developed, even by tobacco. See, nothing about marijuana. So you really can't measure the effects. Now, you see you have a problem with nausea?
When I wake up in the morning, I've always noticed, ever since I was like in second grade. The reason I started using it, my brother kind of gave it to me as I was like in fifth grade. And that went away. I don't, my mom would take me to doctors. They prescribed me things. Nothing ever worked. My brother, in the early 80s, my brothers were doing it like crazy. They kind of offered it. Well, here, try this. It worked. It worked. So I kept doing it, and I've always done it. I've never stopped it. I've always wondered, am I damaging myself? I mean, should I go to a doctor and have myself checked? Because I don't smoke cigarettes. I'm very, very self-conscious about my weight and health and all that. And this, I'm really stumped on this.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for calling in. I think that your experience is not atypical at all. And if you listen to the rest of this program, you'll hear some points that... how far did you get in school?
Pardon?
How far did you get in school?
I made it to the 11th grade. I did drop out, but I have a good job. I'm married. I've got 5 children. I've got a, you know, a steady job. So, I mean, I'm not thieving or thugging or on the streets or a bum or anything. I mean, you know, none of those things I'm worried about because I've gotten past all that. I'm just worried about my health.
Yes, it's very understandable. It's very common for students, when they really take up marijuana, to gradually drop out of school. This is very common. And in the brain, one mechanism that pushes this is what is called motivation. Take the gerbil, for instance. Normal gerbils will dig holes for security, safety, and protection. You give them marijuana, they stop digging holes. And the reason for this is THC in marijuana, by measurement, reduces motivation. And it also reduces learning, particularly this kind of learning. If you get university students to replay back by memory a list of numbers you give them, and they usually can do 7 or 8 numbers. Then, if they're under marijuana, they can do forward memorization pretty fair. But if you ask them to repeat the numbers backwards, they're stumped. And this is so serious in driving a car that it's common experience for drivers who smoke marijuana to forget whether they went through the stoplight or not. In other words, the recent memory is compromised by THC. This is one of the problems. Another one is, in the laboratory for humans, monkeys, rats, the memory is compromised. And the reason for this is the transmitters in the brain are affected by THC. We're glad that you're so talented that you can get and keep a job and have a family and take care of them. That's great. I think you'd find, though, that if you go to a physician and go to the bottom of that nausea business and get it solved and settled and then stop the marijuana, within a few weeks you will have more energy and more motivation. So that you'll be way ahead of the game, particularly on the long pull.
Now, at this point in time, after smoking it for so long, would it have, like, really bad effects on me? Like you were saying, depression and things like that?
I mean, yes, it really can. Now, a bright person who's willing to discuss this on the radio, this is evidence that if you go to the bottom of the health condition, take care of that nausea, and then stop the marijuana. In a few weeks, you're going to be in overdrive. that's what. So there's real, like the name of this telephone number, HOPE, H-O-P-E. And as a brain scientist, I can assure you that marijuana is hard on the brain. The transmitters, the electronics, the motivation, the learning, and the immune system. People on marijuana are vulnerable to infection in the brain, which is something that we need to know about. Marijuana is very hard on the immune system, and you don't want that. Yeah. With the bugs getting stronger coming in from Asia, and with bird flu around the corner, and SARS, and with resistant organisms getting stronger in the community, you don't want to play games with the immune system. Not a bit.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. Very much.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. You have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, David. You know, Burnell, I mean, we really hit on a lot of the issues there, and some of you may have an experience like David. You may have other concerns about marijuana, and we invite your calls, your responses. Dr. Burnell Baldwin, you can tell by listening to him, is an expert on this subject, not in the sense that he's doing bench research, but he's well-read on the topic. He is an expert in brain science. His Ph.D. is in neurophysiology. That's how the brain and how the nervous system works. And he's sharing that information with us today. We're inviting your calls as well at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We're going to another caller right now. This is Russell. He's joining us from South Dakota. Russell, welcome to American Indian Living.
Hello.
Hello. Good to have you with us.
Yes. I often talk about marijuana use.
Yes.
And I was wondering, like the brain, how it affects and why it slows you down. And
Can you turn your radio down, Russell?
Yes, hold on.
Good work.
Yes, when it does affect your brain, it harms your neurons, and it takes cause of burning them out. It's inside your brain. It's like a delicate thing in your brain. It cooks them. The resin from the residue of the marijuana will cook those out from your spine to your brain. But it will help your lungs to motivate yourself to keep going.
Wow, it is quite an item. Another thing about THC that I think is very interesting, that's the engine. One engine of marijuana is THC. And when you give THC to a monkey, the monkey is just as dumb as a rat for what is called technically, what is called anticipatory avoidance. In other words, the ability to plan ahead, foresee what's going to happen, and then do something about it.
Hmm.
So when monkeys under THC, they do just as poorly as a rat. So
let me see if I've got this straight, Dr. Baldwin.
Yes.
You know, Russell's calling in. Russell, I assume you're sharing some personal experience or things you've seen in other people. Is that correct?
Yes. It can help a lot of people, like cancer, liver. Maybe brain injuries, spine injuries, bone injuries, cancer, and colon cancer.
Here's one way it does that.
Yes.
THC in marijuana and other
it's better than a carrot too for your eyes.
Substances in the marijuana will give first euphoria, secondly sedation, or what can be called drug peace of mind. Sort of like alcohol in that regard. But the catch is the side effects of this use, particularly over a long period of time, are very hard on the brain indeed. It's sneaky. It does the job on the brain long term.
Russell, thank you for giving us some feedback. Burnell, thank you for your comments. We've got more coming up on American Indian Living, talking about marijuana. Dr. Burnell Baldwin, neurophysiologist, our special guest. He'll be back for our second half of the show as well. More of your questions. Stay tuned for more on American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free.
log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. If you missed some of the discussion, CD copies of today's show are available. CDs of previous broadcasts are also available. Our email address is AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. CD requests and comments can also be communicated by phone at 1-800-775-4673. That's 1-800-775-4673. Stay with us for the second half of today's program.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to this special edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're doing a show today that's bringing us back to the archives. We're listening to actually one of my favorite mentors and lecturers. It is Dr. Burnell Baldwin. Actually, when I first started producing this show this summer, I was not aware that Dr. Burnell is dealing with some very, very serious health issues, and it's even possible that he may not be alive when this show is actually re-aired. I would ask you to remember Dr. Burnell in your prayers. But he is coming back to us with full force in this show because he's sharing with us some of his insights as a PhD neurophysiologist, giving us insights into marijuana, some of the very, very important issues that are sometimes left out of the dialogue. We're going to go back to that pre-recorded interview from our archives going way back to 2004, but just as current as ever in the summer of 2012, Dr. Burnell will be making some points that are based on a caller that we aired in the previous segment, and then he'll be moving on to some additional calls that came to us when American Indian Living was a live call-in talk show. So here's Dr. Burnell Baldwin with some more insights on marijuana.
They aren't facing up to the fact that marijuana puts the immune system down, and that is precisely backwards for cancer therapy.
Even though people are getting help with what we might term medical marijuana, we should look at other options because there are some real downsides both as far as the immune system and some of the other effects of marijuana that even in the people who are using it, like cancer patients, they really need to seriously look at this.
Here's something that the media will rarely deal with, and that is aggression. It's true that if you take small groups of people who smoke or use marijuana together, they get mild euphoria, and they have social reinforcement of drug effects. And this, of course, euphoria at first, and then sedation and drug-induced peace. And you have, by measurement, less aggression. Now, the New England people, like Ginsberg, for instance, Harvard, they're quite aware of this, and it's a fact that even animals under marijuana are less aggressive, and you have less violence. But here's what the media is not telling the public. that the evidence is very clear from Brazil that if you reduce the food supply to only 2 hours a day, then the animals will fight like little tigers for up to 30 minutes straight. And not only that, they will eat and chew on their own feet in self-mutilation. This fits mathematically with the evidence from Europe that you have more suicide in marijuana users. So marijuana is not near the is not nearly the panacea that the liberal media is saying.
Yes, we got to go back
exactly
to the phone lines, Bernal. We've got a lot of folks who want to give their input. We're going to Wyoming now. That's Bill. Bill, what's on your mind today?
On here, on my reservation, there's more people killed from carload of drunks than a carload of stoners.
Okay. No, I mean, this is a good point. What do you, Bernal, how do you deal with that? I mean, you see some of the ravages of alcohol.
This is a very good point, and this is why I never use either. I'm a brain scientist. I need all the chips I've got. And I wouldn't touch alcohol with a 50-foot pole because it will kill little cells in the cortex of the brain.
Yeah, well let's get uh-huh. It's like a real big problem on the reservations, you know. You
get
around it, you know.
Yes. And I would like to ask Dr. David Rose, I think it would be fair to say that alcohol is a bigger problem on the reservation than marijuana.
No question about it on any reservation I'm aware of. Just like, you know, Bill is sharing here, I mean, you look around Indian country and you look at the toll from alcohol and it's huge.
Yes, sure.
And that's true outside of Indian country as well.
Yeah, right. So we wouldn't want to whitewash alcohol in the slightest. No, nothing.
Well, I mean, you know, but Bill, your comment is excellent because Bernal, it begs a question. I mean, if someone's out there saying, "Well, look at, I'm smoking marijuana," isn't that the lesser of two evils? Or do you have some concerns about that? As far as, you know, do we know anything about individuals that smoke marijuana? Are they more likely to use alcohol? Do we have data like that, Bernal?
Yes, it is a gateway drug, not so much just to alcohol, but to other strong brain drugs. That's another story. So it is a gateway drug. That is well known.
So, Bill, we appreciate your point. We're not going to tell anyone to switch from marijuana to alcohol, but we've got big concerns about both of them.
All right,
thanks for the call.
I just wondered what you guys thought on that. Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
This is Dr. David DeRose stepping away from the dialogue just one more time, wanting to remind you that although we're engaged in some really excellent dialogue with listeners, this is not a live show. And I'm reminding you of that because I want to take the opportunity again to say that although we're not airing American Indian Living with a live talk show format any longer, as we recapture this dialogue and hear some really great insights from Dr. Bernal Baldwin, as well as our listeners, we want you to take the liberty to give us a call and let us interact with you. Well, that interaction will not be live on the air, but if you call in with your questions, we're hoping on future editions of American Indian Living as we go into the fall of 2012 and beyond to take your questions, perhaps to bring in guest experts who can answer the very things that you're wondering about, or to field some of those questions myself. To do that, all you need to do is pick up the phone and dial 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Although you can't take part in today's show, you can have your questions answered in future editions of the program. Again, that number, 1-800-775-4673. Well, we're going to go back now to another caller, to another question for Dr. Bernal Baldwin.
We're going to go to someone else out west. Bernal, we've got a listener calling us from Colorado. That's Tiffany. Tiffany, welcome to American Indian Living.
Hi. I have actually two questions for you, two quick questions. The first one,
heard you guys talking about memory loss, and I agree with that. I myself have smoked marijuana for many years, and I'm getting ready to start college, and I know I have to either limit my smoking or quit completely so that I don't have any more memory problems, because I have had short-term and long-term memory problems, and I believe that a lot of it has to do with my excessive marijuana smoking.
Sure.
And is there any, as far as if you quit smoking marijuana, period, is there a way to restore your memory cells?
Yes. Now, we got good news for you. See, that is this. Have you heard that there are stem cells in the hippocampus?
No.
There are. And furthermore, you get in a good environment. You get regular sleep, so your biorhythms are in good shape. You get regular exercise. You get on a good, balanced diet. Then the brain will perk up.
Ah.
And by practice and by perseverance. Now, if you get in a shade of trouble in college, here's a way to lick it. Since I'm a third-generation teacher, born, reared, and raised in a college, I've got an idea on this. If you get in a shade of trouble, back off of your class load a little bit and keep right on plugging. And after a few months, you'll be able to swing with the best of them.
Right on.
Yes, indeed.
Good.
One quick question for you also. My husband and I have been trying to have a kid for 3 years, and we haven't had any luck, and we have both smoked marijuana for many years. Do you think that there is actual scientific evidence to prove that it can cause sterility, and is there any way to bring those sperm cells back up by quitting marijuana?
Somewhat, but if you will have a good visit with Dr. DeRose, he will tell you that there are many causes for this kind of a problem, and it goes way beyond the purview of just marijuana.
No, I mean, that's exactly right, Tiffany. Marijuana is something on the list. We always put alcohol on that list as well. And then there are, a number of lifestyle factors, like preventing overheating of the testicles. From the type of shorts that someone wears, there are reports of people, switching to boxer shorts from briefs and avoiding the hot tubs, and
that's
leading to, there's a host of things. There's also concerns about environmental toxins. Some of the estrogenic environmental toxins, these would be some of these long-acting organic compounds. What we tell people to do if they think they've been exposed to a lot of that, they're trying to decrease their burden of those chemicals, switch more to a vegetarian type diet where you're eating less animal products that tend to concentrate some of these toxic compounds.
Because they put hormones in the animal meat we eat.
Well, it's not just things that we know are hormones,
right.
but scientifically, many of these long-acting chemicals like DDT and other chlorinated and other what we call halogenated products, these are common organic compounds, PCBs, dioxin, Agent Orange, you've heard of these terms, but these things have hormonal effects, and so many people are saying, to try to really decrease the toxin load, try to eat more simply, eat plant foods. Plants don't concentrate these toxins like animal products.
Okay,
so just a few of the things. I mean, it's a long list, and we've just touched on some of the high points, but we definitely think you're going in the right direction, and we're encouraged for the decisions you're making. Success to you, Tiffany.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Speaking of hope, I think some of your listeners might be interested in this. Anybody who has a computer and a connection to the net, if you just type in www://highwire.stanford.edu, you can get, as a citizen and as an alert person, you can get free access to 15 million health articles.
So that's highwire.stanford, like Stanford University.
Exactly. And
.edu.
Leland Stanford Junior University are back of this program, and it's the best available for research. And highwire.stanford.edu. And then when you get in, don't just follow down the pipe. Click on Advanced Search, and you'll find out that they have found the toxins that Dr. DeRose just mentioned. They found those in fish and animals near the North Pole.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge issue, and, you know, we're very concerned about it, yes. Of course, in Indian country.
Not just Lake Michigan, not just the Mississippi River near New Orleans. No, this is an ecological problem of massive scope.
Huge issues. We've got some of you that are on hold still. Hang in with us. We're going to go back to the phone lines in just a couple of minutes. If you want to weigh in on the topic of marijuana and health, you've got questions for Dr. Baldwin. We've still got a little bit of time. We're moving into our final segment. Stay tuned for more on American Indian Living.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by Wimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Wimar is home to the residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Wimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Wimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every battle's won and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at uso.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. We're in our final segment of today's show. It's one of my favorite shows because it featured a very special person, Dr. Brunell Baldwin. As I mentioned in a previous segment, although Dr. Baldwin is as vivacious as ever on our archives, Dr. Baldwin, at the time we were actually remastering this show from the archives to re-air on American Indian Living, Dr. Brunell was dealing with a very serious illness, and his prospects for living were actually very small. So at the time this will be airing, whether Dr. Brunell is still with us or not is a question, but his material is just tremendous. And so whether this is just a tribute to Dr. Baldwin and his great work at the time this is airing, or whether he is still sharing his insights and his enthusiasm at Wildwood Lifestyle Center and Hospital in Georgia, Dr. Brunell has made a huge impact in Indian country and beyond through his really cogent thinking and his real talent of explaining things in a way that makes them very practical and memorable. Well, with that background, we go back to our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living, as it comes from our archives, having been recorded originally some 8 years ago when American Indian Living was a live call-in show.
We are going back to the phone lines as we speak about marijuana and its health effects. We're going to go to Oregon now and to Angelique. Angelique, welcome to American Indian Living.
Well, thank you. I have a couple questions because I
started smoking weed when I was 12, and I quit about 2 years ago, and I'm 32.
Okay.
But for my education, I don't think it has affected me. I've got 2 degrees, and I'm back in college for my bachelor's again. But my son, I was pregnant with my son, and a doctor was going to prescribe me THC tablets and said if I could get it elsewhere to do that. Now, 12 years later, he's ADD. And I've read some research on it saying that that has some kind of correlation with it, but I'm not too sure about it.
Burnell, you have some insights on the effects on the fetus of THC.
Well, it is serious. It's not just THC. There are at least a half a dozen other cannabinoids in marijuana, and they are detrimental to the fetus. But we don't have clear evidence, and it would be irresponsible to claim over the radio, with the limited data we have got regarding here, that this particular drug caused that particular condition. No, this is not responsible. Because there are many causes known and many causes unknown about hyperactive behavior.
Okay, what about the next child, Burnell? Would you have any advice, though, if they decide to have another? Are you concerned enough about the THC that you'd recommend that Angelique stays clear of it?
Oh, yes. Now, I've got some good news. Take exercise, for instance. Here's some very good news that many people have never heard of. When a mother, building a child, takes moderate, sensible exercise regularly, the enzymes in her liver and in her body and immune system improve markedly. 80% of those benefits are built into the new baby. So that the baby is born, may I use the term, with the true early start. It's a marvelous thing to know about.
Angelique, you said you had another question for us as well?
Well, my oldest, he's 12, and I have three altogether. My youngest, I was just wondering if it would have any effect, because my last child was born an amputee. And I had just quit smoking probably, a month and a half into my pregnancy. And they say it was from the amniotic band snapping, and he was born an amputee.
Well, we're
probably just kind of curious if that had anything to do with it.
We're certainly sorry to hear that. No, another thing. One factor.
Are you saying, Burnell, that do you have any insight into this? I mean, as far as do we know anything about actual formation of limbs and organs with the marijuana?
Yeah. One thing that is good to realize is this: in building babies, very severe stress that can raise cortisol to high levels will inhibit protein synthesis and produce cleft palates, hair lips, and defects, depending upon the timing and the dose. So this goes way beyond just marijuana.
Okay.
Way beyond it. And we aren't to fearmongers on anything, and particularly something like this. But as your obstetrician probably told you, it's a good idea for young mothers building children to avoid all drugs. That's a general rule in the field. And so you'd want to be pretty careful about that. Alcohol would perhaps be more dangerous. We wouldn't whitewash alcohol in the slightest. Because everybody's heard about the fetal alcohol syndrome, but the fetal alcohol effect, the eyes, the nose, the lips can appear completely normal, but alcohol can derange the circuits in the unborn child, so the child is born with a disadvantage from here on out.
Okay.
com.
Yeah, Angelique, I want to tell you the thing I appreciate, too. The fact that you're calling in, that you're concerned about it, that you've made changes, is extremely positive. And regardless of what challenges it's, a child starts life out with, I this is a guest that we've got coming up in a couple of months, Brunel, many strikes against her, a Native American woman who was born weighing less than 1,000 grams, very, very small. They told her she'd be mentally retarded. She, you know, would have physical problems. She's in intensive care for a couple of months. She's now a Yale graduate. She's contributing to public health issues in the country. What I'm just saying is, and she attributes a lot of that to having that supportive family environment. So even though it may look like, you know, some of your children have some challenges that they're having to deal with, and they obviously do, the fact that you're concerned about it, that you're a supportive mother, they can overcome those obstacles, and they can become, you know, role models because of what they're able to overcome and what they can accomplish. So our hats are off to you for your commitment to your kids and for giving us a call and really being serious about being on the best program at this point. Thanks, Angelique.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're tuning into American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Dr. Brunel Baldwin has been with us throughout the course of this hour speaking about marijuana. It's something that has been in the news. It's something that many of us have grown up around in many shapes or fashions. And Dr. Brunel, you've made some, I think, some very clear points on today's program. For those who haven't been with us, can you recap some of the high points on this issue?
Yes. There's 60 times more THC in strong marijuana than there is in very weak. So there's great confusion. Honest people can have honest differences on this question. But strong marijuana is bad news on the brain, on the immune system, on the personality, and on the vulnerability to mental disease. It's really, really an item. We've got another thought on this, and that is that if a person has been on marijuana, when they stop, if they will go on a holistic health program, good physical health, good exercise, good nutrition, and get good support from friends that are winners instead of druggies, and particularly if they will not neglect the spiritual dimension to build the frontal lobe instead of eroding it with brain drugs, then the future is bright.
Now, these are extremely important concepts. And for those of you who haven't been with us for the whole dialogue, I mean, Dr. Baldwin is making a strong case for, even though the fact is there are people out there, and some of you have called in today expressing some of the positive things you've seen either personally or in other people's lives with marijuana, Dr. Baldwin has tried to help you see the big picture that in spite of some of the benefits that are often touted, I mean, as far as dealing with cancer pain or nausea, dealing with glaucoma, there are other ways to deal with these things that don't have the downsides on the character, on the mental functioning, on the immune system.
That is all for today's edition of American Indian Living. I hope you enjoyed that flashback in time and that great information provided by neurophysiologist Dr. Brunel Baldwin. For all of us at American Indian Living, I'm Dr. David DeRose, as always, wishing you the very best of health.
This is Life Talk Radio.